through our series. We're going through the book of 2 Corinthians. And so we're in chapter 4, looking at verse 16 through 18. And I hope so far you enjoyed it. And I hope, well, more than enjoyed, I don't really want you to enjoy it, I guess. I want you to grow. And I hope that you've been growing, and I hope that you've been learning. Oh, that's right, kids' church. My wife got my attention. My wife, Ms. Mitzi, I'm glad you said something. So I just to find out about it. So they're going to go on down. So 6th grade and under, once I take a minute, you can flip there while they go down. So anyway, they're going to go downstairs. And by the way, parents, please go downstairs to pick them up, because we don't just let them, we don't just turn them loose like a pack of dogs. So we don't want them to get run over. Okay? So go down, please send an adult down there to get them. It's down the steps, and you'll see the room on the left side there of the hallway. And same thing with nursery, so please, we don't just let them go without someone going down there to get them. So, anyway, so we'll let you know that. So, I think they're gone. I'm glad that she reminded me of that. So, if you have your Bibles and you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, like I said, I hope that after we go through this, that God's been speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit's been placing His finger on your heart of some things that you need to do better or to grow, just like I have, and I hope that you have. So, anyway, today we're going, I've entitled this, Finishing Strong. Finishing Strong. And I'm going to tell you the theme now. Obviously, every sermon should have a theme. By the way, anytime you do public speaking, you should have a theme. That was something I learned in community college. Not even when I went to Bible college, but in community college, you need to have, you know, you got to have some direction. So your theme, the direction of the sermon, the theme of the text is finishing strong. And let me give you the theme here to clarify. How to successfully endure this life. So basically, how to endure this life, okay? Another word that might resonate better with you, how to have hope. Okay, you could even say that. What we're going to talk about today, the tech, is how can we have hope? And if you want to go off of last week's sermon, last week we talked about carrying your cross, being willing to die for Jesus, okay? You could even, so really if you want to make it a series, you could say, how to have hope to carry your cross. How to be able to carry the cross, okay? So whatever resonates better with you, they're all really the same. It's how to finish strong, how to have endurance, how to keep on keeping on, even during this time. Now, I don't build my sermon in light of the world. I build my sermon with what the Bible says. And so, but this week, it does. We can kind of address how to live these days in the midst of all these different things that are going on in our world and in our country. So that's what the theme is. So here's the thing. We are to finish strong. And a believer, we should have hope. But the reality is having hope is sometimes difficult. But, I mean, life is difficult. I mean, we ought to have, how do we have hope when we learn lessons like this? Job 5:7. Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. How do we have hope when Jesus taught in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And right there, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. Or how do we have hope when the lesson that Paul and Barnabas taught young believers in Acts 14:22, he said this, confirming the souls of disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. On the lesson that Paul taught Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that will live godly life or godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. On the lesson that James taught in James 1:2, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. John MacArthur said this, disappointments, discontent, pain, grief, loss, disasters of various kinds, unexpected turns, and persecution will mark life's course. In case you didn't know it, you already know this, especially if you've lived any time, life is not a yellow brick road. Now, we try to make it that, as Americans, we have, you know, we try really hard to make life a yellow brick road, but it's not. And the Word of God confirms that. The bottom line is life is difficult. We have to learn to endure. We need a source of hope. So how do we do that? How do we do that in this world or in your life? Well, I'll say this, like last week Paul carried the cross, Paul also had hope. Paul did endure. I mean, Paul, in the midst of death, he writes in verse 16, we faint not. He didn't faint. I mean, verse 1 even says the same thing, we faint not in chapter 4. Paul did endure. Paul did, in fact, have hope. He did finish strong. I'm trying to think of the verse right now. You know, I've kept the faith, finished the course. I can't think of it right now. Not all the way. He did finish strong. How did he do this? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. So maybe to give a little more clarity, I guess the best way to kind of maybe connect this to you today is, have you ever wondered, how am I going to make it? If you want to connect this passage to your life, and that's really what you're supposed to do with the Bible, is take the biblical world, tie it to the modern world. Now here it is. Have you ever said this? How am I going to make it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time together. These people here, they're not here by accident. They're here because you want them here. And it's not because of my ability today at all. It's because we're going to open the Word of God, and what your Word tells today is what they need to hear. I want to ask you to help me to do just that. I ask you to help me to explain it to the best of my ability, and to apply it to our lives today. In Christ's name, amen. If you want to look at verse 16, we will look at these verses. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Back to the question, have you ever wondered, how am I going to make it? Well, today I hope that the Word of God will shed some light on that today, okay? We don't need a magazine. We don't need a motivational speaker who's all dressed up that got all the answers to life. What we need is the Word of God, okay? That is the key to a successful life, the Word of God. Now, first thing, we've got three things here that I think Paul did. We're going to look at verse 16 and verse 17 and verse 18. Now, first thing Paul did to endure life successfully was he cherished the spiritual instead of the physical. He cherished. See, the reason we faint so easily in this life is we cherish the physical. I'll give you an example. You get up one day. Let's say it like this. What brings you so much stress every day? The physical things, right? Job, vehicles, houses. Things. The physical things. Why? Because that's what we cherish. We cherish that new car. We cherish that vacation that got canceled. We cherish going out to eat. We cherish. That's why so many people are struggling today with the pandemic. And because we cherish all these physical things, we're not getting to live the life that we used to live. We can't just go out to eat anywhere we want to with a peace of mind. We can't do certain things and, oh man, we collapse. Oh, I just can't take this pandemic no longer. And it's because, I'm not trying to mock anybody, but it's because we cherish the physical and not the spiritual. And you'll see what I mean here. Our hope and the reason we live and invested in the physical many times. And by now, you should know that the physical and the material will let you down. That's really what it comes down to. We cherish the physical world so much, and it lets us down every day. That's why some of us are in this woe, disparage me, like Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh. And because we're so, our hope, what we live for, is in the physical. We cherish that. But so let's look at that. Let's look at here at the physical problem. Look at verse 16 again with me. By the way, we see there, for we faint not. Okay, so that means right there we know that Paul did endure. Paul did have hope. Paul didn't wimp out. Why? Well, he says here, but though our outward man perishes, or perish. This obviously, the outward man into visible physical being, into reference to the physical body. This is a reoccurring theme in this chapter. Verse 7, it says earthen vessels. Verse 10 says body. And in verse 11 says mortal flesh. All of these refer to the physical body. But here's the problem. He says there, the outward man perish. The word perish means wasting away. It means decaying. It's happening all the time and you can't stop it. The word perish there is a progressive present. That doesn't mean anything to me, but what it means is that it's a continuous action. It's a steady and irreversible process. You right now, and everything around us, the physical world and our body, are being destroyed, eaten away by the power of death. Our physical body are constantly wasting away. From birth to death, the body is constantly decaying. I have been walking and exercising. I've been walking some days 4 miles. Yes, I only walk 2 miles. I skip a few days here and there. But I've noticed something. My knee hurts me now. Not bad, but I have something. I don't know what's wrong with it. If we run sometime, and it hurts. I'm 34 now. At 20, it didn't hurt. I think it's from when I broke my ankle snow skiing. I think that's where it's from. First thing I grabbed my knee, but anyway, there was nothing wrong with what they said. But it hurt. My body is breaking down. I mean, it is nothing to you, but I have arthritis now on one of my fingers. And if it starts hurting, I mean, it's bad. You know, it's little things like that. I know it's going to get worse, but my point here is the body is decaying. There's nothing we can do to stop it. I mean, I'm trying to stay in shape. I'm trying to get back fit, but I mean, like that. If I run, I can't run a mile now. And all. I think we run about half a mile, maybe. And I'm about to die. I mean, it needs not be that way. My point is, we are decaying. Paul here knew that very well. What's interesting here is that some writers say this. Not only was he decaying because of the normal aging process, he also was decaying because he had lived in abnormal difficulty for living for Christ. Yet the grim truth was that Paul had hope. In all of this, Paul had hope. Now, how? That's the question. How did he have hope? I mean, he was beaten. I mean, he had been whooped. I mean, he literally lived a broke down body. He had a broke down body for living for Jesus. Here's why. Because of the spiritual progress. Let's look. We see the physical problem. Now look here at the spiritual progress. In verse 16, again, it says this. Yet, the inward man is renewed day by day. That is the spiritual progress. The inward man is the spiritual man. It's the spiritual part of us. And it says here that it progressed. It was renewed day by day. The verb there, renewed, is once again an ongoing process. He was being renewed each and every day spiritually. Each and every day he was being renewed spiritually. And so now here's the question we have to ask this. What does it mean to be renewed day by day? Well, I'm going to give you, stay with me for a minute. I'm going to read a few things because no one really said a lot. When I was studying, no one really said a lot just exactly about what it meant. One person said this. This unseen man, the spiritual, receives gracious power of the divine spirit to continue his life. John MacArthur said this, is that the seemingly paradoxical truth is that when believers are physically weak and at the end of their own resources, they're in a place that they can be made spiritually strong. Okay? So we see the ideal spiritual, well, God's going to strengthen you. That's great, but what does that mean? Let's move on. life's troubles and trials and difficulties serve only to build an inner strength because they drive believers to humbly pray and hopefully depend on God. So they're the ideal of inner strength to be able to depend on God. Now, here's the actual definition of renewed. To be renewed completely by God refers to a redemptive activity of God corresponding to the creation of man by putting an end of man's existence to his corrupt state. Okay, I know that don't mean a lot to you because I'm reading it, but basically the ideal of salvation. When you're renewed and stop the sin process and fix the corruption, okay? Alright, now move it to what Wimby said, because no one really pinpointed it. Both these verses have to do with a spiritual renewal of the child of God. Of itself, suffering will not make us holier men and women unless we yield to the Lord. Okay, so here it is. This is what I believe that it's teaching, and you can look later. To be renewed and to be given spiritual strength to be like Christ each and every day, no matter the physical pain. So, see, that's the thing. It's not like God's going to renew me and he's just going to change everything from no. In his spiritual strength, it is a spiritual strength that happens every day to accomplish something. Not for you to accomplish your job, but for you to go to work and still be like Christ at your job. You understand? In the means to the end, it's not God give me power just to deliver me and make my life great again. No, in his inner strength for you to do one thing, for you to continue living for God, to have spiritual progress. And that's letter B, by the way. It's on my point here. And that Paul said, I don't faint. I've got all these problems, but I've been renewing day every day. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Paul cherished the spiritual. He was focused on how he could be like Christ. He got up and said, man, my life is terrible, but I'm going to be okay because during this whole time, God gave me the strength. He gave me the strength to be like him. That's what gave Paul strength to get up each day was the fact that he knew that on Monday, God's going to give him the strength to live for God. Not that his problem would go away. And that's not what he said. God don't give you power for your problem to go away. God gives you power and strength in you for you to live like him. But the reason we don't see that is because we're focused on the physical. We don't cherish the spiritual. You see, Paul cherished the spiritual. He cherished his relationship with God. That meant something to him. He didn't cherish good looks. He didn't cherish money. He didn't cherish the physical thrills of the physical world. No, he cherished the spiritual. And that the fact that God renewed him each and every day to carry out the spiritual progress he needed is what gave him hope. The truth that we learn is that God will renew you spiritually each and every day so you can live like Christ. But here's the problem. That will be no hope to you today if you cherish the physical more than the spiritual. That's why all these health and wealth, prosperity, gospel are so appealing because it lets you cherish the physical. But today, if you cherish the spiritual, that'll be a hope to you. And if it's not, what you need to do, you need to start cherishing the spiritual more than the physical. So to be able to endure, first, cherish the spiritual instead of the physical. Secondly, compare the spiritual to the physical. Okay, number two, compare. Okay, now I want you to compare them. You say, where did you get that? Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Alright, so, the first thing, let's look at the reality. Here's the reality. Paul was afflicted. I want you to know that. Paul was afflicted. Verse 17 says that affliction, and by this point, we're in chapter 4, I have told you over and over and over, I've read twice, 2 Corinthians 11, when it talked about Paul was shipwrecked, he was beat 20,000 times, he was left for dead, he was stoned, all these things. He was hungry, he was naked. Paul's life was full of affliction. And so if you're ever having a bad day, just read them verses, and none of you probably not had as bad as Paul. I mean, Paul's been in prison, okay? I mean, prison's not like it is today, okay? I mean, he was under house arrest before. That'd be like quarantine, okay? So he's been through it all. But here's Paul's attitude. Ready? Look back at verse 17. For our light affliction. He said that he said, my afflictions are light. That means not burdensome. He said, whatever I'm going through, he said, I'm in jail, but it's not burdensome. It's not bothering me. Okay, that was his attitude. I want you to remember that. I want you to just hold on to that. And he also said this. He said, it's just temporary. He said in verse 16, it said, oh no, verse 17, excuse me. But it is but for a moment. That means temporary. Paul was afflicted physically. His life wasn't a yellow brick road. Yet he viewed his problems easy to bear and insignificant. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to hold on to. He looked at his life and all the problems as insignificant. So, now the question we have to ask. How was he able to do this? Well, read with me here. It says this in verse 17. For us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Okay, now, the ESV really shows this better. I'm going to read this verse in the ESV. This is what it said. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Okay, so that's how they translated it. It should be beyond all comparison. There's the key. Paul compared the spiritual and the physical. And at the end, he saw that the spiritual rewards far outweighed the physical pain. He compared the physical to the spiritual. Now we saw the reality. Now let's look at the reward. And say, let's look here in verse 17 again. So we see here the reality. He's going to be afflicted. But get what he said. Work is for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hear it. There will be rewards for living spiritual in eternity. That's what he's talking about. He's saying the trial and the trouble and the difficulties of life have a positive effect. Because they will produce for us an eternal weight of glory. Weighing in the balance and suffering of this life, the weight of glory tipped the scales in the favor of eternal reward. So basically, I don't have the time to get into all this verse, but it's a statement to rewards in heaven. The glorification will be eternal and awaited with heavy with the treasures of heaven. Eternal weight of glory is a statement that greater glory in the kingdom is reserved for those who suffer the most in this life. These rewards will surpass any affliction here on earth. He says this. He says, look with me again. Stay with me, because I know you get a little bored, but stay with me. We're going to tie it in. He said, it's far more exceeding. All right, now I want you to look at that word exceeding. Now, exceeding. That is where that's a Greek word where we get our English word hyperbole. Or better known as hyperbole. Hyperbole. It is the strongest emphasis for something being out of proportion. The weight that what we'll get in heaven can't even be compared to the trials here. The trials here is just nothing compared to what we'll receive in heaven. And that's what Paul said. Paul said it hyperbole. One guy said that Paul cannot stand to make a comparison without throwing in this expression to indicate that there is no comparison to the difference of the two is immeasurable. There's no way possible that we can even fathom how much greater the eternal reward will be than to the problem we have here. All problems here, it would be like 0.01, and the reward would be 100 trillion. That's what he's saying. He compared it to, okay, here's my physical problems. Okay? Alright? Now, here's the spiritual rewards, the benefits later. He said, it don't even measure up. That is what he did. That's why he could say, my burden is light. Because he took time to compare the physical to your spiritual. And by the way, don't you know, you should even, without any comparing, think about everything that's in your life physically. It gets old. You know, there's something, there'll be a time when you get something, and you thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and it'll be a day when you just throw it away like it's nothing. You've done that before in your own life. I mean, Brother CD told me about having a Chevy Love. He hated that thing. But I bet when he first got it, he loved it. But there come a day, he couldn't get ready to sell it fast enough. There's things like that in my life. There's been fishing poles, and all, I couldn't wait when I got it. And now, I would throw them away in a heartbeat if I could get a new one. And then, so compare that to the spiritual. That's what he did to have hope. See, the spiritual rewards far outweigh the physical pain. It's not even immeasurable. Paul was able to endure the valley of this life because he compared the physical pain to the spiritual reward, and he knew it was far better off. We need to do the same. We don't need to trade the permanent for the temporary. I mean, kind of like dieting and working out. I used to have a couple when I used to exercise a lot more. And I used to have one saying or one little paper on my workout book. And it said, a bad workout is better than no workout. You know, that means like 2 miles yesterday was better than not doing anything. So I didn't get the 4, but I got the 2. I used to have another one. I couldn't find it or couldn't think of it. But it was something to this nature. You don't sacrifice the long-term freedom. Talking about being in shape for a temporary comfort, eating a cupcake. Eating a cupcake don't last very long, does it? It gives you a thrill for just a minute. But being in shape, you know, being able to go walk up the hill without dying means a lot to me. Same thing spiritually. Don't sacrifice the long-term permanent reward for a little bit of temporary comfort here. To be able to endure, first, cherish the spiritual instead of the physical. Second, compare the spiritual to the physical. And thirdly, concentrate on the spiritual instead of the physical. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So you can already see it right there. He's concentrating on the spiritual instead of the physical. That right there tells me what he's doing. He's concentrating on the spiritual. To me, it's very important. Because if you don't concentrate on the spiritual, you will never cherish it or compare it to the physical. That's exactly what Paul did. We see that in his decision. That's the first thing, is the decision. I don't know when he made this decision, but Paul made a decision to look at the eternal. The word there, verse 18, the word look there, it implies a scrutiny. It means to see, to watch with care, to contemplate, to keep in steady view. So Paul didn't do this. All right, gotta get back, gotta get to work, gotta do this. No. Paul said, yeah, I'm gonna take the word of God and the spiritual, and I'm gonna mull over it. And I'm gonna think about it. And I'm gonna concentrate on it. And then even when I'm going about my day, I'm gonna meditate on that. I'm going to think about the spiritual, and I'm going to meditate and think about how temporal this world really is, and how it got so many problems, and how that nothing in this world satisfies, and even if it's not sinful, nothing in this world satisfies. Nothing. Yet we think it, but we chase it like it does. Based on material things. We think it's going to bring us satisfaction, but it's not. We need to concentrate on that. We need to think about that. And that is the decision Paul made. He said, I'm not just going to glance at the spiritual. I'm going to concentrate on it. I'm going to meditate on it. John MacArthur said this, endurance comes as long as believers look in the right direction. Think about that. Endurance comes as long as believers look in the right direction. Like that, my endurance will build up physically if I continue to go in the right direction. But a lot of us, what we try to do, we try to get out there. We run about 100 yards and, man, I don't know why I'm not in shape. I don't know why I don't have endurance. I just can't believe this. Wah, wah, wah. We do the same thing spiritually. We'll read a Bible one day. We'll go to church for a month or two. Especially when there's problems in our life. When people got problems in their life, they're at church. I don't know why. I don't know why I keep fainting. And because you're not focused, you're not concentrating on the spiritual. You're trying to get instant results. You're trying to get microwave results. No, that's not how it works. You've got to concentrate. The problem is we don't have our concentration in the right direction. We've not heeded Paul's word in Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2 says this. Paul says, set your affection on the things above and not on the things on the earth. But let's be real today. We all, if not mine, and some of you may not, but a lot of us have a problem that we set our affections, we focus on the things of this earth way too much. We sit at night, well, I do, think about things I want. I've got a wish list because when Christmas comes, people will ask me, like my in-laws, they always get me good gifts. They ask my wife, what do you want? And I don't know because I know, but I don't know. So I've got a list. And there's a thing that I want personally myself. I'll sit in bed thinking about stuff like that. I'll sit in bed thinking about fishing, or I'll sit in bed thinking about what I want to do here or there. But how many times do we go to bed and just think about what God really wants us to do with our life? Do we sit down in our bed and think, you know, when people dying going to hell? I was burning a fire yesterday. And I think about the fire. I think about, you know, people burning in hell. You know what I think about hell the most is when I get thirsty. When I get thirsty, I think about give me a drop of water. Do we sit in our bed and think about that? No, you know what we do? We sit up watching TV, getting on our phone, looking at what we want, and then go to bed wishing we could get that. And whine about our problems. Why don't we concentrate? Why don't we set our affection on the things above? You see, here's the thing. That's exactly what we've done. We've set our affection and concentration on the physical and not the spiritual. And then we wonder, I don't know why I don't have any endurance. And when you see it, people faint day in and day out spiritually. They're not in church anymore. Because why? Because they've not concentrated on the right thing. And it's just like football season. Just like if the quarterback went out every day and concentrated. He got with the special teams coach. And he learned everything that was to know how to kick a football. And he got in the game and wondered why he wasn't doing good as a quarterback. I would say, hey, bud, you need to go with the quarterback coach. You need to concentrate on the right thing. Then you'll be a little better. You won't be as terrible of a quarterback. Hey, same thing with you today. Don't come to me, I don't know why I'm fainting. I don't know why. I'm just struggling so much. And here's what I'll say. Concentrate on the spiritual. What I'd say. You don't need a new devotion book. You don't need another this or that. You don't need another informational message on the internet for somebody. What you need is the Word of God in your life. You need to come to church. You need to read the Bible. You need to concentrate on that. Not that hard. Then you'll be like Paul. And Paul said, I didn't faint. My burdens were light. Paul kept his focus on eternity. But that's not what we do. We'll get out of here and say, all right, what's our next vacation? What are we going to eat? Which I'm going to tell you, but don't get me wrong. But, what are we going shopping tomorrow? How many Labor Day sales are there? And what's been, this whole weekend, you had a little time off. How much time have you spent spiritually? And then you'll wonder why on Monday you'll faint spiritually. Oh, but you had a good time physically, though. Because you're not focused on the right thing. Paul said, I didn't faint because I concentrated on eternity. We need to make that decision. Paul tells us why, though. We see the decision, now look at the description. Here's why. The physical, I've already said this, but the physical is temporary. And it says here, look not, I got ahead of myself earlier, look not at the things that are seen from the things that are not seen. From the things that are seen are temporal. They're temporal. All the material things, the world's ideals, values, standards, and achievements are temporary. Now, in the spiritual, what it says here is that the spiritual, the eternal, is permanent. It will last. It's a no-brainer to Paul why he's focused on the spiritual. It will last. Your money won't last. It'll fade. Your health won't last. It'll fade. Your house won't last. It'll fade. You know, I've thought about that. I went by houses and thought, you know, and they're just like run down. Nobody wants them. And I thought, you know, there was a time when that house was the house to have. I'm driving a 97 Nissan. I thought, you know, there was a day. No one wants to buy that Nissan. I'm going to tell you. Well, actually, probably really because the little trucks, people love the little truck. But, I mean, that ain't what people want to buy today. But there was a day when in 1997, that was a brand new truck. And someone was happy to have it. And if you gave it to somebody, they'd be like, oh, I don't want that. They're temporary. The shine doesn't go off of it. It faded. It literally has faded. You got spray paint on it. So anyway. The beauty. Your beauty won't last. Sorry, lady, but it ain't gonna last. Your talent won't last. Sorry, guys, your talent and skill wouldn't take so much pride in. It ain't gonna last. There'll be a day when you'll get arthritis and you ain't gonna be able to do the thing you can do. Your achievements won't last. You may have been the greatest at one time at your high school, but there's somebody there now that's greater. You're gonna fade off the scene. No one even knows who you are. Do you realize that in three generations, no one will know who you are? I don't know my great-grandmother. I know who she is, but I don't know her. That's how fast you'll be forgotten. Ecclesiastes. Read Solomon. I really struggle with that one. I have to think about it too fast right now. Read it. You'll be in 2 to 3 generations, no one in your family will know you. That's kind of depressing, ain't it? Could in some 2 generations. Right, if I have a kid, they won't know my grandparents. Because they're all they're dead. They'll never know who they are. They may know the name, that's it. It'll fade. That's how temporal everything that you're valuing is. But, the one thing that will not fade, and that ain't the eternal. That's the spiritual. Your eternal destination will not fade. Whether in heaven and hell will outlast money. Oh, let me say this. Let me back up. Your kid's athletic ability won't last. It'll fade. For all these folks who are taking their kids and they're going to be the next pro, that athletic ability will fade. But what will happen, if you let that athletic ability be a roadblock, just a spiritual thing, guess what? They could end up in hell. Because they'll never, and most of them say, well, no, they're safe. Okay, there's a good chance their kids will go to hell. Your grandkids will go to hell. If you spend every Sunday and every Saturday and Friday playing ball, it ain't going to last. And most of them kids, when they get a little older, get 16, ain't going to be, I mean, some of them will be, but not all of them going to be all-stars. Some of them will never play sports again. So your kid's athletic ability or even mental ability, it'll fade. But the one thing that will not fade is that's heaven and hell. Heaven and hell will outlast money. It'll outlast your health. It'll outlast your house. It'll outlast your beauty. It'll outlast your talent. It'll outlast your kid's ability. And that is what's going to last. And that's what you need to be concentrating on. That and what you do for God. That is what's going to last. And that's what gave Paul hope. Because he concentrated on the spiritual instead of the physical. And that's why he said, I don't faint. Because when he got up at a Mount Everest of a problem in front of him, that's not what he was living for. You know, that Mount Everest kept him from going to the beach. That Mount Everest kept him from getting a new car. That Mount Everest kept him from doing this or that. But that didn't bother him because that's not what he was living for. He was living for the spiritual. And he did what James did. He said, man, I don't like this mountain, but this mountain is going to help me to form to the image of Christ. Let's take it on. That's why he had endurance. That's why he didn't faint. He was concentrated on the spiritual. To have endurance, to have hope, to be, as we talked about last week, if you're here last week, to be able to carry your cross. Because to carry your cross, being ready, being willing to die for a God, to live for God to where it costs you your death, that's difficult. How do we do that? How do we have endurance? Well, three things. I'm not going to be preaching about three things. Here it is. Number one, cherish the spiritual instead of the physical. That's verse 16. That's what Paul did. Paul literally cared so much more about the spiritual. I mean, he had been a person that he could have bought a brand new car and wrecked it, and if he'd have grown and got closer to God, he'd been like, man, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Now, I'm not there, I'll be honest with you. But Paul was. Paul could have wrecked his brand new car on the way home. And if it had showed him something that he was doing wrong in his life, and it caused him to get closer to Christ, he'd have been like, this is the best day ever. He'd have come like, let's have a birthday, let's have a cake. Because he cherished the spiritual more than the physical. And that's what gave him endurance. Number two, he compared the spiritual to the physical. And I challenge you to do that. Start comparing the physical. Go home and look in your closet. And look at all the things that you have that you don't even want anymore. But at one time, you did. It's temporary. Yet, heaven and hell, permanent. And the treasures that you build in heaven are permanent. That's what gave Paul endurance. And then number three, concentrate on the spiritual instead of the physical. Be more concerned about, being concerned about that. That, not probably not what you want to hear today. You want to hear, well, you know, point number one, go on vacation. Point number two, go take a nap. Point number three, go eat some good food. And live your best life. Yeah. But that ain't how Paul did it. Right there is how Paul did it. And we stand on our feet with our eyes closed and our heads bowed out of respect. We're not doing a traditional altar call. But here's the thing. You don't have to come these steps. These steps are made by a man. You don't have to come these steps to get right with God. You can sit right now if God has convicted you like he has me. Right now, and we just take a few seconds, a few moments. Maybe God has convicted you about something. Maybe you've been lazy. Maybe you've been valuing the physical way too much. I know I have. And we take a few, maybe you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you need to ask God to help you get your priority. Maybe you need to say, here's a good one. Thank you, God, for showing me where I'm going wrong. You ever thought about that? Maybe that's what you need to say. See, that's what Paul would have done. Paul said, man, thank you, God, for showing me what I'm doing wrong. And then here it is. Change. Change. That's what we need. Here, I will say this, as you got your head bowed, Iceland. If you do, after we're done with the service, if you need to talk to me, I will be available. My wife will be available as well. I want you to know that. If you need to talk to me about salvation or something, you know, anything going on in your life, you just need to get me by the hand and say, hey, will you pray for me? I'll be glad to do that, okay? I want you to know I am available, but I'm going to close in prayer, and I want you to think about that. This is how we have endurance. We cherish, we compare, and we concentrate on the spiritual. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, Lord. Thank you for these people here, Lord. They're not here by accident, Lord, and I know that they need to hear this, not because of what I said, but it's called what your word, these three verses, that's what it teaches, Lord. And that's what we need, because what your word says. And Lord, I don't know where everyone's at today. Lord, if they all are going through something that's really like Mount Everest, Lord, I do ask you to give grace and mercy and give them the comfort they need. Well, we know you are a merciful God, but Lord, help us not to forget the lesson that we need to learn. Lord, I do ask you to be with them. Lord, I know right now people have got a lot going on in their lives right now. I know people personally right now in this room. Lord, I do ask you, Father, to give them more compassion than ever before. Lord, but I ask you also help us to realize what we got responsibility as well. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and I ask you to bring us safely back next week in Christ's name. Amen.